This is Keith Pisani of KeithPisaniMinistries.com. As you are driving down the road and you see the warning light lit on your dashboard, how do you respond? Do you floor it and hope the warning light goes away? Or do you heed the warning and make an appointment with a mechanic to fix what's broken? Scripture is filled with warnings, and one of the brightest and best is found in Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 3, where the scripture writer said, "Therefore, based on what's been written before, for this reason we ought to give the more earnest heed, pay the closest attention to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or drift away. For if the word spoken through God's messenger angels was steadfast and sure, and every transgression and act of disobedience committed under the law received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" The unsaved reject the faith. Believers neglect it. Warning, warning. The writer of Scripture says, take heed. That term heed is translated beware in Matthew 7 and verse 15. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, it speaks of paying attention to an object and acting on what you see. God wants us to see Jesus for who he is. He wants us to respond to Christ as God, the complete authority in our lives, because the theme of Hebrews is Jesus Christ is better. He is better than anything and anyone society offers today. So why should we drift away? Warning, warning. The term slip is a nautical term. In society, it was used of a ring slipping off a finger, a person falling into a well, a ship sailing past its port, but most often it was used of a ship being loosed from its anchor and drifting off into the sea, into the harbor, into danger, away from the safety of the shore. Even though this is the only time in the New Testament this term appears, it reminds me of that passage in Hebrews 6, 19 and 20, which talks about the sure and steadfast anchor for our souls, who is Jesus. In first century times, when a boat would enter a harbor, the captain would order his crew to fasten an anchor line to a large rock or boulder in the harbor. This would keep the boat secure, but sometimes because of a storm or through neglect, the anchor line would slip and the boat would float away. That's what happens to many believers. We attach our anchor line to Jesus, but through misplaced priorities, taking our relationship with Christ for granted, or through neglect of Bible reading and prayer, our anchor line of fellowship slips from the rock of ages, who is Jesus, and we drift aimlessly among the sins, pleasures, and misplaced priorities of this world. When we anchor ourselves to anyone or anything other than Christ, our anchor will not hold. We will drift, and God guarantees consequences. As we look around society, we recognize we are a generation of drifters. In these last days, with itching ears, we hear what we want to hear, do what we want to do, go where we want to go, and expect whatever God we follow to approve and sanction our plans. And we fail to realize we are adrift. Let the winds blow and the billows roll. When we are fastened to the only anchor that holds, the rock of ages, Jesus, we will not drift. We will be safe and secure in the storm. Hey, why did Detroit, Michigan, or Tokyo, Japan, or Seoul, Korea include warning lights on our dashboard in the vehicles that we drive? It's because when those warning lights are lit, it means take notice, take heed. Disaster approaches ahead. Allow me to list some warning lights flashing in the book of Hebrews in Scripture. Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, the warning light, the symptom of passive disobedience. It's a drifting away from God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 and verses 7 to 13, it's the warning light or symptom of a heart that's hard toward God, a defection, an apostasy away from God. Hebrews 5, 11 and 12, It's the warning light, the symptom of feeding on the wrong spiritual food. A dairy diet when God wants us to feed on meat. And then in Hebrews 10, 23 to 31, it's a warning light or symptom of unfaithfulness in worship, staying away from the house of the Lord. Hey, God wants attendance, but he wants more than attendance. He wants attachment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in Hebrews 10, 22, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance. In Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, in the let us patch of God, let us consider one another to encourage and provoke to good works. A man was converted under the mighty preaching of the 18th century evangelist George Whitefield for several decades. That man lived with a testimony for his Lord, but eventually became a Demas. Through neglect of spiritual things, the man was led astray. He drifted away from Jesus. One day he decided to travel, and he took a train and sat across from a beautiful, young, spiritually minded lady who began to hum, then sing a song. And after singing the verse and the chorus, the young woman noticed the man across the aisle, pointed to the song in her hymn book and asked, "What do you think of this song?" Immediately, the man began to cry, and through the tears, he managed to say, "I love that song. Many years ago, I was the one who wrote it. I wrote it, and I'd give anything to experience the joy that I knew then." That song was "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And that man that day decided that he wanted that fount of faithfulness to flow again. Hey, the streams of God's mercy still flow today. If you're showing the symptoms of spiritual neglect, decline, defection, neglect not so great salvation. Anchor your soul to the Rock of Ages, who is Jesus. Recommit yourself to living for Christ. Come back to the Savior. Hey, don't be a sailor without a ship. Heed God's warnings and recommit yourself each day to keeping your commitments current for Jesus Christ.